Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. On to 4, 18 to 23. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All the Lord's people here send your greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
So we're coming to the end of this epistle. It's often called the Epistle of Joy, because it's full of joy, joy on every page. It's full of warmth and affection. As I said, it's a letter from the heart. And you see that Paul carries these Philippian believers on his heart. He has a great affection for them. We read in the letter that he's praying for them. And I imagine the Apostle Paul down on his knees, praying for these people, lifting them up, probably lifting them up by name, as he knows many of them by name. And as he does that, he's full of gratitude and thankfulness. And we're rounding off this series by considering this theme, the joy of sharing our lives, the joy of sharing our lives. And if you weren't here this morning, I would encourage you to catch up with the talk that Joe brought this morning on this theme of sharing our lives, because it was brilliant. It was so much better than the talk that you're going to get this evening. And she really opened up the whole theme, particularly the theme of community across the generations and how we can practically share our lives with one another and be involved with one another. It really is well worth listening to. And in this letter that Paul is writing, we have a wonderful glimpse into the life of a leader and the life of this church. And what we see is there's this kind of bond of love between them. It's across the miles, of course, because Paul is probably in prison in Rome, and they're over in Turkey, Asia Minor, at Philippi. But there's this deep bond. There's been sharing at a deep level, and even in this letter, that sharing from the heart goes on. And as I thought about this letter and thought about this theme of sharing our lives, thought about the bond between Paul and these people, this thought that struck me, even though Paul is in prison, he doesn't feel alone. Even though he's in prison, he doesn't feel alone. Now, of course, he has the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's evident in this that he feels close to God. But he feels close to these people as well, even while he's in prison. And it got me thinking, because we've been involved through Loving Northampton. We were involved in this thing called a rock conversation just before Christmas. And with 400 people, we were at this event that included civic leaders and the police, people from all sorts of voluntary agencies. And together we were exploring the issues that people are facing in Northamptonshire. And out of that consultation, out of that conversation, a rock report came out, and it listed the top 8 issues facing people in our communities in Northampton. And one of those top 8 issues was the isolation that older people feel in our community. Particularly, we seem to be focusing on the sense of isolation that older people face today. Now, I think many of us will be fully aware of that. We will meet neighbours, we will come across people in our week, and we'll realise how precious it is for them to meet with other people. On a Thursday morning here at St Giles, we have a communion service across the way. It's at 11 o'clock. It's not exclusively for older people, but it began that way as a service for older people. It's now across the generations. But for many of those people, it's really vital because that is a place of contact and fellowship during the week. But of course, the problem of isolation is not, it's not just older people. Increasingly, it's a prevalent problem in our society. I did take a few minutes to look up a few stats, but I couldn't quite get it in a coherent enough way to present to you this evening. But you will be aware that for all sorts of reasons, there are more and more people in our country who are living alone. Whether that's as the result of divorce or the breakdown of a relationship or bereavement, whether it's to do with singleness, whether it's to do with a lifestyle choice, there's all sorts of reasons. But what we know is that loneliness and isolation is increasingly one of the biggest issues facing our society. So as we think of this theme this evening, and I'm going to open up this theme of sharing and thinking about fellowship, this is not just something for us. This is something for our neighbours, for our colleagues, for our town. And I don't know about the people that you meet during the week, but often I remember when I was working at Jaguar, I would meet people and they'd put on a brave face at work and perhaps be all smiles and head down and so on. But as you really got to know them, you would find that many of those people were going home to be by themselves, or they were going home to face something on their own. So this is an important theme for us as we celebrate what we have in Christ. But it's important as well as we think about those around us. And so we're to keep our eyes and ears open and little clues in conversation and just to have that awareness of people who are on their own. So I want to say, what does it mean to share our lives together? What does it mean as Christians to share our lives? What is the kind of sharing that is the gift that we have to offer to those that we meet? Well, I want to say, first of all, it's the joy of fellowship in Jesus, the joy of fellowship in Jesus. I don't know how your text or email began that you just looked at, but did you notice how this letter began from Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi? Other translations, of course, will say to the saints in Philippi, the saints in Christ Jesus. In Philippi. And there at the end as well, greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. And then this lovely greeting, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if you ever begin a text or a WhatsApp message to people in church that way. Grace and peace to you. I'm part of a little WhatsApp group, people who pray for me. And quite often I'll get a message in the morning and it comes something like that. It's more than a greeting. It's a prayer. It's a blessing. Grace and peace to you, the saints. I want to say that what we have in Christ is more than friendship. What we have in Christ is more than community. What we have in Christ is fellowship. Fellowship. And at the heart of it is grace and peace, because of course those are the foundations of what God has done for us in order to bring us into this relationship, into this fellowship. We're people who have known God's grace, Jesus giving his life for you and for me, making a way so that we could come in to this family that we call the church. Peace from God, peace in our hearts, the peace of sins forgiven, peace between one another. This is more than just community. You see, in Christ, we have a new identity, a new sense of belonging. If we were to read on, we didn't read much more about the opening greeting, and we had it quite a few weeks ago. But Paul goes on to say, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. Your partnership in the gospel. It's quite often translated fellowship. And you probably know it's the Greek word koinonia. There isn't really a word like that in our language to express this sense of community and belonging and friendship and partnership. Fellowship gets pretty close. Fellowship gets pretty close. And you know, we shouldn't take it for granted, because you and I can come here freely, we can worship freely. It's just great to hear that buzz at the beginning of the service. It's great to hear that buzz of sharing at the end of the service. And it's great to go down to Wetherspoons and finish the weekend just having a drink together. But all of that is more than just having a good time. All of that is more than just catching up with your mates. This is about a deep bond of friendship in Christ Jesus. It's great to see you, holy saints of God. It's great to see you, people of God. Let's never take it for granted. And as the weekend ends and as we turn into the week, let's go into the week with eyes and ears open to the people we meet, and let our hearts go out to them, because we want them surely to come in, and find the grace of God, to come in and find friendship and community and fellowship. Yeah, I was going to, I won't embarrass the person who put this up, but there was a really nice message on Facebook this week, on the St Giles Facebook page, just recommending St Giles Church Northampton. That's great, to recommend this fellowship. And they just wrote this, just a few words. A friendly and caring church with a heart set on following Jesus. Really love coming here and really love these people. Why not just put out little messages like that on your Facebook page? And just share what you've been doing at the weekend. St Giles is a great place where you can come and find friendship and find fellowship. Find love and a sense of belonging. But it's more than that. It's more than that. So part of sharing our lives is this joy of fellowship together that's possible in Christ and because of Christ. But as the letter closes, as the letter comes to its conclusion, we see a different kind of sharing, because we see the joy of giving. The joy of giving. You see, this isn't just a fellowship where you kind of rock up and people are nice to you, you know, and you have tea and coffee at the end and your needs are met and somebody leads the worship for you and somebody preaches and gives a message. This is a place to come, and not just to receive, but to come and give. And you know what the world is finding? Increasing, the world is discovering what the Bible has been saying all along, which is there's a joy in giving. In fact, the Bible said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And ironically, if we're in that place of need, if there's things that we need, if we feel in need of encouragement, or we feel in need of a bit of TLC, well, actually, we shouldn't just sort of crawl into ourselves and just sort of feel, I hope somebody's going to come and look after me and meet my need. Actually, we're to be open, because God's word says it's more blessed to give than to receive. So this is a place where you can come and give. And of course, that's in the heart of God, because God so loved the world that he gave his son Jesus. And you heard it read there, as Harvey read it right at the end of the letter. Paul is saying thank you, because this church in Philippi have given Paul a gift. We don't know exactly what it was, but this church, they're aware that he's in prison, they're aware of what he needs, and so they send this gift, and they send Epaphroditus, and he brings that gift. And can you imagine Epaphroditus coming to that prison cell? I mean, I don't know what he was carrying. I remember when Bob and Alison did a little sketch for us here one Sunday morning, and Bob was being Epaphroditus, and he got out his bag, and he brought out oil and bread. And I don't know whether he brought out money, but in this gift, these people had just sort of, they had just thought, how can we bless Paul? And they came and gave. And Paul is writing back to say thank you for that gift. I've just written a letter this week, a letter to my son, Owen. Owen is 25. Have I got that right, Maggie? I've lost a bit of track. Owen's my third child, he's 25. He and his wife Sarah have just moved to New York. Job move, other side of the world. So I just took the chance to write a letter to him this week, and I've tried to time it so that I'm hoping that he won't have access to email on the phone. I've tried to time it so that, sorry, did I say on the phone? On the plane, I meant to say. So I'm hoping that when he lands in New York, and you know what, I mean, this is what I do anyway. You switch on your phone, bing! And I'm hoping that the first thing that he'll get when he lands in New York is this letter from me. And a dad-son letter. But as I wrote that letter to him, I thought about his gift of giving. Thought back to Christmas and when he and Sarah came the whole family was together. And you know what? They are brilliant at gifts. Some people are just brilliant at choosing gifts. You know, for mum and dad and brothers and sisters and in-laws, but then for grandchildren. And they just seem to know exactly how to bless you. And when you open one of their gifts, you know you're going to get a real treasure. Well, that's what it was like for Paul, opening these gifts from Epaphroditus sent from this church. And I bet they were really blessed to hear this letter back, because it was a blessing and a joy to them to give. And it was a blessing and joy for Paul to receive it. So when we're sharing our lives, when we're experiencing this fellowship and then this community, I think it means that we're attentive to the needs of those around us. We're attentive to the needs of those around us. We have our eyes and ears open to just know what their situations are. We're willing to play our part in giving to meet needs where we can. You know, it's not always visible, but I see this kind of giving, this sacrificial giving, all around this fellowship, all the time. I've just been thinking back over the last couple of weeks. I think about financial gifts given to people in need, given privately, just to help them through a difficult situation. I think about a financial gift that has been given to somebody who's in debt to help them to begin to find their way out and to find a new beginning. I'm thinking about the support that is given to people in hospital to visit them. The support that's given to maybe those at home who are missing them. And I think of the practical help that's given through DIY and other helpful things. And then, of course, as well, the giving that comes through prayer and support and listening. One-to-one care. Week by week, giving is happening all around this church. It's such a blessing. At the minute, you'll know the red box that's over there. It's an opportunity for us to give during Lent to our Lent project, to the project called Heating the House of Hope in Russia, our mission partner Vera, who's there. So our gifts that we give, our financial gifts and our prayers and our support, will be to sort of bless her. And I tell you this, there'll be a joy in giving as we do that. In the economy of God, there is blessing when we give. And we read these words as well, don't we? Paul wants to sort of say to them, Paul says, I know that giving has been sacrificial for you. I know that it has cost you. But he says this, my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful promise. I want to encourage you, don't hold back in your giving. Don't hold back in your giving. Whether it's your time spent with people, whether it's in the way that you serve or the way in which you give financially, don't hold back, because you can never, never, never outgive God. And I want to dare to say this to you. If you find it hard to give financially, if you're aware that money's got a bit of a hold on you, if you're aware that you give a bit reluctantly, or you haven't yet made up your mind to give sacrificially to church, I want to say this. The only way that you'll break the hold of money in your life is to give it away. The only way you'll break its hold is to give it away. And as you give to the work of God, whether it's to this church or anywhere else, you will find this, that God's economy begins to work. You get blessed. That's not why you do it, of course. You do it just because you love him. But there is a joy and a blessing in giving. There's glorious riches and abundant provision. Just a little plug to highlight a need for you. It's particularly a need at the evening service. Now, I'm going to whittle you down, okay? So are you ready? Be careful now, okay? Okay. How many people can use a computer? Come on, don't hold back. Okay, so there's potentially 50 people, okay? How many of you can use a Windows computer? Keep your hands up. Good, good, still. Yeah, I'm glad to see that Macs are in the minority. Okay. How many of you can use something like PowerPoint? Okay, a few more hands went up again. Yeah, yeah. Hands up nice and high. Now look around to see how many hands are here. From all these hands that are raised, if you can use a computer, if you can use Windows, if you can use PowerPoint, then we need you. Because we need people to operate the computer at the back of church for the evening service. Because for some reason our evening rota is very, very light. I would love it if three of you would come and talk to me at the end of the service and say, I'm willing to give it a go. Just a bit of training and then see if you are willing to sign up. Okay? Put your hand up again if you had your hand up. So I'd love it. I'm looking for three people, okay, to come and see me. Right. Thank you. Okay. I want to finish with maybe a key thing that I felt God wanted to say. Because as well as giving financially, as well as giving gifts, as well as giving our time, giving to one another, what I see in this letter is the theme of the joy of giving and receiving encouragement. Receiving encouragement. There's a joy in encouragement. There's a joy in encouragement. This is such an encouraging letter. Paul is full of gratitude and appreciation from beginning to end. And the tone is encouragement. Paul is a leader. He's an apostle. He's passionate for Jesus. He's passionate for the gospel. He longs for these Christians to be full on for God. He's encouraging them to leave the past behind, fix their eyes on Jesus, set their hearts on the future hope. He's trying to stir them up to kind of serve God. He's trying to stir them up to shine like lights in the world. He's a true apostle trying to encourage his people to go for it, to be full on for God. And yet, he's not nagging. He's not ordering. He's not putting pressure on them. It's all done in a spirit of encouragement. A spirit of encouragement. So I have a question for you. It's not about serving. It's not about the rota. When was the last time you used the gift of encouragement? When was the last time you used the gift of encouragement? You might see in the notice sheet, that's what really blessed me this week and blessed me so much I decided to write, because I received a card from somebody this week. They wrote me a lovely card and they began it with these words: I felt prompted to use and practice the gift of encouragement. Isn't that brilliant? I felt prompted to practice and use the gift of encouragement. Folks, when was the last time you used the gift of encouragement? Let me give you some examples of the encouragement that I've seen in this last week. That lovely card that was sent to me, I'm going to embarrass her. It was Natalie. Let's give Natalie just a little round of applause. Natalie. She used the gift of encouragement, but more than just writing a card, she must have thought and prayed, how can I encourage Steve? I don't know whether she thought, I wonder what encouragement Steve does need this week. But I can tell you this, Natalie, that what you wrote was bang on. It was just what I needed. It was so helpful. It totally transformed my day. That card, that gift of encouragement. And then in the same week, it might have even been the same day, somebody gave Maggie some flowers and there was a little note attached to it. And that just made her day. That encouraged her and it just totally changed the tone of the day. And on Thursday afternoon, I went into Collingtree School and met the RE coordinator there. And she was talking to me about the Easter experience that Cameron and James and Nicola and other members of the team. And she was so encouraging about what a blessing it was to the children and how great the folks from St. Giles were. And now, where's the other James? Where's Sporty James? He's not here. I wanted to encourage him. So encourage James, because she just spoke to me about how brilliant James was with those children, how he had their attention, how he helped them to discover the activities. So will you, when you see James, tell him that it was just brilliant. It's been so encouraging to see how many of us will know Keith and Rosemary Boddington. Yeah? Well, you'll know that Keith's been in hospital now. I think it must be for close on 3 weeks. It must be nearly 3 weeks that he's been in. Sorry? Nearly 4 weeks. His wife, Rosemary, at home, for whom life is very difficult now that he's in hospital. And I see this rota coming together people from church, sort of giving her a lift home from hospital, basically taking her into her house, making her a cup of tea, checking that she's got food in the fridge, basically making sure that she's comfortable and settled. And that's happening every day of the week. What an encouragement that is to Rosemary. One of our PCC members on Saturday, he wasn't at the PCC meeting. Now, by the way, there are PCC vacancies. Okay, I think we've got 6 vacancies in total on our PCC this year. There's nomination forms over there. Well, one of the folks who was not at PCC, but basically when the minutes came through on email, he read them, and he came and found me yesterday, and sort of said, "Steve, I read through the PCC minutes, and I just wanted to come and say thank you. Well done. You're doing a good job." And it was such a blessing. I've got loads of other things I could sort of say here. The gift of encouragement has the power to radically change a person's day. Because, you know, so often we're surrounded by bad news and discouragement. And you could be the very person who comes and totally turns around that person's day. So I want to encourage you to use and practice the gift of encouragement. I'm out of time, aren't I? Let's finish. When was the last time you practiced the gift of encouragement? There's a joy in giving encouragement, and I can tell you from the bottom of my heart, there's a joy in receiving encouragement. An encouraging church is a very attractive community to be a part of. It's a very attractive community to be a part of. So many people are looking for community and friendship like this. A place to belong. A place to experience heart-to-heart fellowship. A place to give and receive. To make a difference, but also to receive when we're in a place of need. And a gift, a place to receive encouragement when we need building up. We're getting there. We're doing so much already. But I want to encourage you in the gift of giving, and especially in the gift of encouragement. Amen.